Welcome back to FYC.
For your child self.
I'm Alessandra.
And I'm Victoria. And we are here today to talk about a very exciting movie, but we have a lot of updates first.
So, Victoria, how was your weekend?
Oh,
do anything interesting?
My weekend was so chill. I just went to the Annie's, no biggie.
It's like, for those of you who don't know, Annie's are the award show for animators and animated movies. We were lucky enough to have Victoria go this past weekend as of us recording this to go see the Annie's and see who scooped up the award. So stay tuned for her report on that after the show. Also stay tuned because as of us publishing the episode, the Oscars will have happened.
Yes. So we're adding a little award show review at the end of this episode.
Speaking of award show, today's film is
Robot Dreams,
which was an Annie Award winner for Best Independent Feature, and it's our final Oscar-nominated Best Animated Feature to discuss.
Yeah, I'm glad that we did, that this episode is coming out after the Oscars have already happened, because as we're recording this, like, we have no idea who's going to win. Like, you're getting really, like, just our actual opinions and hot takes about like who's gonna end up winning in this nomination, in this category. And I think we're on two very different ends of the spectrum when it comes to this, but I'm just really happy that we get to talk about Robot Dreams and that we actually got to see it, because this movie isn't out until later. Actually,
the distribution for this is interesting. If we like, we'll go into that into a minute, but before that, Victoria, what was your cartoon moment of the week?
My cartoon moment? Okay, so it was a very particular week, obviously. I was at the Annie Awards. So I'm going to say that my cartoon moment of the week was showing up at the Annie Awards and everyone was wearing green like I was. I know.
What?
It was a very, very cute thing. So I saw a group of people all wearing green. They were like wearing green velvet, velour tuxedos. And I was like, oh my God, these people look so fresh. I was like, oh my God, we're in the same club. So I walked up. I was like, oh my God, is this where all the green people are hanging out? Turns out that they were the editing team for Leo.
Oh my God, no way.
Yeah, they were so cute and so nice and welcoming. And I took their picture like of their party. Everyone was wearing green. So like, you know, it's like, I want to say it was like a very lizard heavy year. So like, the Leo team was wearing green. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles team was also wearing green. And then a few people here and there doing other movies were also wearing green. And it just felt like, wow, green really is the color. And
Trend
alert. I was like, we're all on a color palette. I'm so glad that this happened. You know, I love a color palette too.
Amen.
And on top of that, it felt very like, this is so silly, but like background art.
Oh, what do you mean?
Like, oh, like if you were like, if like the main character would be like someone wearing red.
Yeah.
And then all in the background wearing green, you know?
See.
So yeah, I just kept picturing that like, wow, everyone's wearing green. We're so background.
It's like BG baby.
But it was nice to like fit in that respect. What about you? What was your cartoon moment of the week?
So I did not go to the Annie, sadly, but I did have the best movie going weekend.
Oh, heck yeah.
The perfect double feature, which was Perfect Days,
okay.
By Wim Wenders, about a Japanese janitor who like cleans the public toilets of Tokyo. Yeah. And literally it's just like, I could have watched it 10 more hours of this man's life.
Really?
It was, I just thought.
She's like, get him on Big Brother.
I'm like, yeah. No, it was just like this. It was like, obviously like it's a fiction movie, but it was just like, I don't know. Like the narrative is like, the engine is like, you know, whatever. It's like a day. It's sort of a passage of time day in the life. And like, I think it actually goes very well with Robot Dreams, which was the second movie I watched this weekend. And I don't know why those two movies just complemented each other so well. And I just like, I came out of this weekend just feeling so good. Both movies were just phenomenal and just like showed such beauty and like the simplicity of life and just like these like everyday moments. Like, and it just like, again, it just reminds you of like, just like how much there is to live for and be excited about. So yeah, great movie going weekend.
I used to say, I will say I used to love, that was my favorite type of genre. Where it was just like a slice of life, just like,
yeah,
I love that movie. And like on top of that, like how rainy and gloomy it was all weekend, like I do agree, like that sounds like a perfect double feature.
It was. Have you seen Perfect Days yet?
No, I haven't. I didn't even know it was out.
It's out for like a few more weeks and then it's going on to streaming. But yeah, check it out in theaters if you can. It really is so, so good.
Yeah, I'll watch it this week then.
And it actually, like, a lot of, a big aspect of it is dreams in the movie. Okay. Like, that's like a big, like, visual, like, distinction.
Yeah.
Like, within the movie itself. So I thought that with robot dreams, which is what we're discussing today, it would be perfect. And so now that we've teed that up nicely. Robot Dreams, for those of you who haven't heard of it.
Which is most people, I would say.
Yeah, it is a Spanish-French production written and directed by Pablo Berger, based on the 2007 graphic novel by Sarah Varon.
Yeah. It premiered at Cannes last year, and it's been played at a few other festivals since as well, but it won't be out in theaters until May 31st of this year.
Yeah, Neon just picked up the distribution rights in the U.S. Mm-hmm. because it's been out in Spain and France right. so far. Like, the box office that it's made, and I think that includes whatever screenings there have been here. It's
yes.
like 645,983.
Which is pretty good, I think.
But, I mean, the budget is $5 million, which is actually, like, a very that's small not, budget yeah, for animated not, movies.
Yeah.
But I feel like once... You know, it gets picked once it gets released in the U.S. Like, I'm sure it'll make a lot of money.
A lot of money. It's also an Oscar nominated movie too. So like,
it's gonna get buzz.
Yeah, it's gonna get. It already has buzz. People can't watch it. So like, once it's actually out, I think it'll be a good facelift, if you will, on the box office numbers for sure.
And we had the privilege of actually attending a screening of this. So we're talking about it, and we're lucky we've actually seen it. We went to a screening at the American Cinematheque at the Aero Theater. And cooler still, we had Pablo Berger himself come for a Q&A. And he came with also his producers, Yvonne Cormenzana, Ignacio Estapé, Sandra Tapia, Jerón Vidal, and then obviously Berger also produced. Yeah.
He also came with a few other members of the crew, like
the music editor.
And actually the night before at the Annie's, I met the rest of the team that wasn't able to make it to the screening too.
Please spill.
Just there was a storyboard artist who was nominated, and she was so great and lovely.
And so obviously on that note of knowing that it hasn't been like widely distributed in the U.S. yet, we're going to try and keep this as spoiler free as possible. I know, shocker, because we never do that on the show. We're
always like, here's what happened.
Play by play. Like, we're like coaches out of a sports game.
But yeah, I mean, obviously some things will be spoiled because that is the message, like the message of the movie and like our favorite parts and things like that. But We're gonna leave some twists in there for you to find out when it comes out.
It's like, so you're probably wondering, Robot Dreams,
what is it?
And Robot Dreams follows this tight-knit friendship between Dog, who is an anthropomorphized dog, and Robot, his robot companion, if you were wondering what Robot was, over the course of a year.
Yeah, it's kind of a misleading dream. It sounds more like misleading name. It sounds a little bit like an Ex Machina sci-fi steampunk aesthetic, but it really, it's just such a beautiful 2D animated simple story about a dog in Manhattan in 1980s and his robot companion that he literally like mailed to order.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's not like this world has robots that just walk around. It's like he very much ordered his robot friend.
Yes. It's like with technology, like it's like basically, I mean, and this isn't really a spoiler. This happens in like the first 5 minutes of the movie. But what we will say, just so you're not too shocked when you get in, this movie has no dialogue.
I was shocked. No dialogue. I had no idea it had no dialogue.
Me neither. I was just as surprised as you are.
Yeah. To be fair, though, afterwards, when I got home and I was looking up the movie a little bit more, everywhere I could find no dialogue. We love this dialogue-less movie. No word movie. Great. I love. And I was like, well, clearly I wasn't part of this discourse before watching the movie.
So yeah, but keep that in mind going in. But honestly, I think that it does so much for the story. Like the fact that it had no dialogue whatsoever did not like.
Yeah, it was. At no point at all. I wish it had dialogue.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I was perfectly like. not only condemned, I was just like literally like in awe of like of how this movie mm-hmm. was able to carry the story without not a lick
yeah.
of verbiage.
Yeah. And not even like, even the gasps were so, were not even like, oh, it was just like,
yeah.
Which I thought that was amazing. I was like, oh, he's gonna scream. Nope, no screaming either. But yeah, I mean, it's also interesting because this is Pablo Berger's first animated movie. He's done a few other movies and he
all
mentioned
live action, yeah.
all live action, but he also mentioned that one of them was also partly
yeah, that
no
one,
dialogue.
Yeah,
wordless.
That was like an homage to like silent yeah, to film.
Exactly. So it's so I just remember being in film school and like having it like stage one of writing a script or telling a story was like, okay, tell it without any words.
Yeah.
Right. Same. And so, but it feels almost the opposite with this, where it's like he had to practice the no dialogue storytelling to actually make this great movie.
Yeah.
Where, I don't know. It was just kind of like a, something switched in my brain when I started watching the movie. Cause I was like, oh my God, wait, no, like it doesn't have to only start with no dialogue. It can end in no dialogue as well.
Yeah. It's just like, I mean, it really just goes to show what an art, like,
mm-hmm.
like again, narrative storytelling is yeah. in general, but especially, like, because, like, mediums such, like, film, like, you know, live action film and animation, it's just, like, again, like, the reason we see movies is not, like, just to hear the dialogue. It's, like, before, yeah. like, sound came to film, it was just, you know, you saw the actors' faces on the screen. It's like, I think of Sunset Boulevard. It's like, back then we didn't need dialogue. We had faces. And it's so true. It's just like, again, like, and it's like the fact, because part of me, again, this is also a Spanish-French production. And yeah. I was sort of like, oh, is it going to be in Spanish? Is it going to be, like, you know.
Yeah, I was also confused about that.
And then in a way, it's just like, no, it just has no, like, sort of, like, boundaries in terms yeah. of, like, the realm of.
Yeah.
Well, actually, in the realm of sound, it has a song that unifies, I think, all of us.
Everyone, yeah. yeah.
But I don't want to quite spoil that.
No, I don't think we should spoil that one either.
But I feel like when you do end up watching it, like, you will be very delighted by what they chose as the central theme of the movie. And it's, like, recurs throughout.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that itself tells enough story without, like, the like, you know, like, it helps inform, like, fill in the gaps, like, where you may wonder, like, what where dialogue may have helped.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's sort of, like, that sort of filled, like, oh, okay, words have been spoken for me.
yeah. That's true, actually, because every once in a while where you're like, I want to hear something, the song yeah. would play. Trust me, the song would play.
yeah. It was funny because they mentioned in the Q&A, it was just like, oh, the rights, to, like, the clearances yeah. to play the song. And I'm like, how much money? Like, I'm sure half of that budget was spent on, yeah, like, that song.
On that song. Money well spent.
but then in terms of the animation, like, 2D, baby, are we gonna...
Yeah.
Like, are we getting our 2D renaissance is my hope.
I think we are. And honestly, like, even with the other movies like Spider-Verse and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, it's like, those are all 2D components. And, like, I love this return
even
to
Wish.
Basics. Even like, Wish, too. Like, it's like both a return to basic and an homage. More so just, like, its own separate identity now. Like, the things that I feel like this movie did with 2D aren't necessarily the things that 2D movies, while we were watching 2D movies, were doing with itself, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like it was able to play around with the dimension a little bit more than 2D movies during the 2D era were.
Yeah, and I mean, it does feel different because it's not like Disney that would use, like, the sort of multi-plane camera. Like, it's,
yeah,
like, very, like,
that's true.
2D, it's definitely, like, it's very clearly digital, but, like, it's just not an inch of empty space on the screen.
Yeah.
Everything feels deliberately, like, filled in, mm-hmm, or just, like, the composition of each shot just feels so, like, purposeful.
Yeah, it feels weighted and vibrant. And I think that you wrote it in your notes. It kind of felt like a Where's Waldo.
Yeah, they were, like, pitching it to Neon, being like, hey.
Which, honestly, I love adult seek and find books, and I would buy it for Robot Dreams.
It was perfect. Like,
I have
part
a
of the
few
reason,
already.
Like I kind of, like, want to go back, like, when it's out again, to just, like, see and catch, like, some,
yeah,
like, of these Easter eggs.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot, especially for, like, cinephiles. Like, you will, like, love the Easter eggs that are in this. We'll, like, probably mention a few, but it just,
yeah,
like, it gave me, like, and I know you love Zootopia. It gave me some Zootopia.
Yes, 100%. And also, you wrote in here BoJack Horseman.
Yeah.
And the entire time, like, the first 20 minutes, I was just comparing it to BoJack Horseman. And, like, I don't know if you, like, if you've seen BoJack Horseman, like, you know, it's a very sad tale.
I love that. And that's like, I watched, like, at the castle. It was not good for my mental health.
Oh, no, it's not good. It really isn't. And I don't even know why or, like, what it is that it does that it literally isn't good for my, for, like, brain chemistries. But this felt like a total 180 of that in, like, in the way that, like, it, they're anthropomorphized animals, but they don't, it doesn't feel like they're trying to be human.
Before that though, what was the cutest aspect of the film for you?
Oh, the cutest. Honestly, I loved seeing all the New Yorkers, like all the different characters in the background and like all the quirky little transition shots that were like very random character influenced. They were just like the three little pigs were so cute, and the way that like Duck's little outfit, like she was just so adorable. Like, I don't know, just
she was
like
rocking it. She's my icon.
Genuinely, like all of these like random characters, like even at the beginning there was this like yak washing his car, or like a buffalo washing his car. I was like, I love that guy, and like he was on the screen for like 3 seconds, so I just like love how cute like the all the like background quote-unquote actors were.
Yeah, and like they apparently, like according to the Q&A, like they really put like such care and detail into like making every like background character an individual with some business, some story of their own, like going on. And I mean, I get it's like that sort of thing where people say it's like, you know, we all think we're like the main character, and like really we're just like the NP. We're not like we're like just extras in everyone else's lives.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So I think it's like really great how like again like, you know, they've incorporated like 1980s Manhattan as like a character in this movie, like not just the characters within it, but it's like you feel like the city itself is like such an important part of what makes this story work and what makes it special.
Right.
And like the fact that the 1980s, and I have thoughts on that that we can get into later.
Okay.
But I mean, for me, the cutest aspect of the film was like, I don't know if you noticed, but like, birds were just like obsessed with Robot.
Oh my God. Yes.
They had this like obsession. It's like in the beginning, like
the pigeons.
The pigeons watching him through the window. And then there's that sequence, which was like, I'll give my favorite part a little early, but that was like my favorite part of the movie was that sequence with the birds.
Yeah.
At the like with the family. Yeah. And it was just like, that was like the moment that like that got me. Like, I don't know.
It felt that, I think that part of the movie felt one of like, very much like one of the big storytelling scenes. Not that any of this was filler, but like that one in particular was like, okay, this is where the gut wrenching begins.
Like, it really felt like such a big part of like the emotional core of the movie. And I was just like, it killed me. But yeah, I was just like, for me, I was like, the birds are so cute. Like this fascination. Cute. I was like, wow, you like, I was like, I wonder where that came from or if it was like deliberate.
Well, yeah, it has to be deliberate because I feel like, because
it happened, like it wasn't just these scenes, because there was like other points in the movie where like birds would just like flock to this, to this robot.
My favorite part of the movie, I also wrote it in later so that we could talk about like how many homages there are in this film, but it has to be the Frankenstein scene. Where Rascal is fixing Robot up.
That was also like phenomenal.
Like the moment it started, I was like, oh no way, I'm getting Frankenstein this early in the morning. Let's go.
We love a Frankenstein story.
I love a Frankenstein type homage.
No. Scene. I feel you. And I also thought when it was like the first time in like that first 5 minute sequence with Dog, like there was also like a moment like that.
Yeah, there was.
I feel like this one, it was, that scene with Rascal, it just felt like.
Well, I think the beginning one felt a little bit more like Ex Machina-y.
Yeah.
And then the Frankenstein one was very much Frankenstein.
Yeah.
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 So, I don't know. There's just so many things. And like, I love a good homage. Yeah. What was your favorite character?
Well, for me, my favorite characters were, you said the three little pigs, and I got like guests because they were my favorites.
Really?
I was obsessed with them.
They're so funny, and they kept coming back.
No, they were like literally like my favorite like recurring character. Yeah. I was just like, oh my god, my three little dudes. Aww. Like, and then one had his little mustache, and they just like loved go like, you know, doing their activities. Yeah. It was just like, I'm like, wow, we love a tight-knit friendship.
Yeah, like they were like, literally ride or dies.
Yeah, exactly. I just thought they were great.
Yeah, they are great.
They're cute. How about you?
I like Robot.
We love Robot.
We love Robot. But honestly, aside from like Robot and Dog, Rascal. Rascal's a great character. Like from the moment he showed up in his little like car and like eating his little Chupa Chups and like he just felt like just like such a guy, you know? Like I was like, this man's adorable.
I would trust him.
I don't even know what
life.
Animal it is. It's like a honey badger or
I thought he was a raccoon.
But he's brown. You know?
You can't just ask raccoons why they're brown. That's a good question.
I thought he was like a honey badger, but I don't know what a honey badger means.
No, honey
badger. Honey badger don't care.
Honey badger don't give a shit. But no, yeah, Rascal, I would trust with my life. You know who I wouldn't trust with my life?
Who?
Dog. Sorry, guys. I know Dog is like one of the main characters, and honestly, you know, I'll cut him some slack, but like loser energy, giving off major loser energy throughout the whole movie.
Womp womp.
And like, it's like, and you see that he tries, but I'm like, you still don't get it, do you?
Yeah.
Like, I literally wanted, like, it's if this movie had dialogue and it was cheesy dialogue of like dialogue that shows up in everyone, you just don't get it, do you? That's what I want to tell him. That's what I want him to know. Yeah, Dog can choke.
Oh my god, but also, Dog can eat some chocolate.
Oh god, not that I want him to choke, but then like come back and realize just how good he had it.
Yeah.
He needs to change in his life to really actually like get what he wants, because it was just the whole time I'm like, it's going over your head, my guy.
Well, I think that is the movie.
Yeah, that is the movie.
Different moments where he has to realize until he finally realizes.
Yeah, it just like pissed me off all the way until then. I was just like, again, major loser energy that this guy was giving off.
I bet you love the bowling scene.
I love the bowling scene. I was with, I guess that, was that a raccoon?
Yes.
Yes, that was another, I was just like, I was with him. Yes. I was like, if I was at that bowling alley,
you're like, I'm sitting next to this guy.
Yeah, literally. It was like, we can hate on Dog together. Yeah. No, I feel bad because I like, it's funny because if I were to say which character I'm most like, it would probably be Dog.
No.
But yeah, Dog can choke and then come back to life and have a revelation about what's important.
Yeah, Dog can wake up and journal at 5 a.m.
And I'm so sorry to the audience who just had to like listen to me rant about this dog.
No, all good.
But can we talk about the passage of time?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's one of the most intricate parts of the film is exactly what you were saying. Like he, over the course of the year, Dog just keeps having these like experiences, mm-hmm. and we as the audience are like, okay, cool, he's finally gonna fucking learn something. And then he fucking does it. And
yeah,
then
it just the blows same up shit
happens
yeah.
again the next season and the next season and the next season. But it's really interesting how this movie like takes place from September to September.
Mm-hmm.
But even on like, there's never any like title cards or anything like that. It very much just like shows you a new scene.
It's just like the visual cues you immediately
the
know.
The production design on those... On like those transition scenes and shots is just incredible. Like the moment it was Halloween, it was like it hadn't even shown you a freaking jack-o'-lantern. It was just like purple black. And I was like, oh my God, it's Halloween.
Yeah.
And then it was like panned down to the jack-o'-lanterns. I was like, oh my God, wait. I was like, oh wait, this is cool. This is going to tell the story of the whole year.
Yeah, exactly. That's when I realized. I was like, oh, how long? Because I was like at this
I had
point,
no idea where it was going.
Yeah, I was just like... Because there's that one little note that Dog leaves that's, like, on the fridge for most of the movie.
Yeah.
And I was, like, that was, like, the point where I wondered. I'm, like, when does this movie, like, start? Like, how long is it going to be?
Yeah.
Like, and then my heart dropped to my stomach when I saw that it was only Halloween. I was like.
I know. Exactly. That's the thing. It's, like, this movie could have just fast-forwarded a year. Instead, the movie is the story of that one year.
And it's just, like, and again, like, what both these characters go through And again, like these best friends. Like it's, yeah.
And you really do fall in love with them.
Yeah. Like, as individuals. And then also for the, like, together. For their friendship. Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly why we stick through the whole movie with Dog, is because we know how much.
This undying loyalty and like love for like.
Robot. Yeah. Yeah. So.
And vice versa. It's like.
Yeah. You really do fall in love with them. And so like you do want to see how the year pans out or et cetera.
And I mean, like, the passage of time is also just like how time influences like relationships. Like, this is right, such a relationship movie. Like,
yeah.
When we were in the audience and like some of the questions that were being asked and some of the stories that like Rediger told about like audience reactions and people that came up to him and just talking about like how it caused like people in the audience to like either heal from or just like have like a like sort of like make them feel better about relationships that they had gone through.
Yeah.
And I don't, like, I hope this isn't spoiling anything, but I just think that, like, it's just, like, again, like, the power, like, of time on relationships and just, like, how, you know, a connection with someone just can help you grow or change or, like,
yeah,
you know, internally and externally. It's just the power of just, like, what, like, you know, knowing someone else can, like, do to you or what it'll make you want to do or, mm-hmm. you know, like, how it affects your ambitions, your little dreams.
Yeah. Like, especially, I don't know how to say things without spoiling
things. I know. I'm, like, trying to, like, but, tiptoe around.
How we see how Dog is around Robot versus how he is when Robot's not around.
Yeah.
That's not a great way to say that. How it's, because we see the difference of like Dog before Robot and Dog after Robot.
Yeah.
And so like that like nature of like that relationship affecting the character so much.
Yeah.
Is one of the beauties of the film, but also just one of the beauties of life in general, where you're like, where this movie, like we had mentioned earlier, is a slice of life. The biggest takeaway when I walked out of the movie was like, wow, we have to live life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I feel like that's one of the messages of the movie, but it's not like what necessarily what the plot is about. It just is that nature of the relationship, the dynamics.
But it's also about like how relationships help you take risks and that like just like by the nature of taking risks, it's like all these risks that both Dog and Robot like take throughout the movie. And it's just like leaps of faith or risking, you know, like I'm gonna go to this thing, you know, I'm gonna go like, you know, to the beach or I'm gonna go on a ski trip. And it's just like these like little things and moments that we just like, you know, some people on a whim decide to like, you know, go like, you know, on this little thing because it's like, oh, maybe I'll meet someone or maybe like I'll like learn this cool thing or maybe I'll find something I'm passionate about. And it's like whether it pans out or not, like, you really, like, in taking these risks, you really do learn something new about yourself every time. And, like, it's just, like, whether it's, like, it sort of, like, raises a mirror. It's just, like, again, when you get out into the world, it really just shows, like, that's how you learn who you are. At least I think that's what part of what this movie was trying to say.
Yeah, and I think what made, it was one of the most special parts about watching this movie Sunday morning after I had, quote unquote, taken a leap of faith and gone to the Annie's all by myself, you know, where it's like, I'm pretty good at putting myself in like solo situations and like being able to just like manage the moment and go through it and like have fun. But it was like eye opening to watch Dog do the same thing the next day and like have it not turn out too well for him, you know, where it's like it causes that like frustration, dramatic irony kind of from the audience where you're like, oh my shot god, if you had just had fun, it wouldn't have been that bad now, would it? Or if you had just said hi. And then like, I don't know, I think we see that when Duck comes along and then that's
icon
Duck. But like when Duck comes along, we see those like leaps of faith kind of get a little bit more and more normal for him.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, Dog is Dog.
Yeah. Dog is Dog.
And Dog is,
she was too bright. She shone too bright for him.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, I'm shocked she even gave him a chance.
She even gave him a chance.
But, you know, good for the both of them.
Yeah.
You know, Duck is happy where she is now.
Yeah.
And you'll watch the movie and realize what we mean.
Ooh, yeah.
But yeah, I just like loved the idea of just like, you know, the importance of life is just like gaining these new experiences.
And I think it's also important to note that the opposite of that, where it's like your experiences may harm someone else too.
Yeah.
Which,
and then your experiences may also teach you lessons about how to act in the future with other people.
With other people, so you don't harm them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That we'll leave it at that.
We'll leave it there because then we're gonna spoil something.
To the point, I kind of like, obviously we can't discuss robot dreams without discussing the dreams involved. Dreams
and memories.
I don't know. What did you think of like these dream sequences? And I feel like obviously robots' dreams were like the ones that took like the most focus, but we have Dog have a couple of dreams like that too.
Yeah.
But robots.
Yeah. Robots' dreams were okay, I don't want to spoil anything. So I'm gonna start off with a theoretical question to all of you dog owners or pet owners or cat owners. But I often see my dog sleeping and I think to myself, what is she dreaming of? Sometimes she'll growl in her sleep, she'll bark, she'll like move her little paws or like move her little nose, and I'm like, she has to be dreaming of something. She has to be thinking of something. Like, what is it? And this movie answered that question with like robots' dreams being dog centered.
Yeah.
So I was like, ah, that is rough. I don't know if you have anything to say about dreams, about the dreams in this.
No, I mean, like, the first, what got me was, like, how, like, I got faked out.
Okay.
By that.
Yes.
Like, because it takes you a minute to realize.
Fake right, break left.
And it's, like, I guess it's, like, the same thing with dreams, where, like, dreams that I think are real, and then until you realize, oh, wait, I'm dreaming.
Yeah.
And it was very much giving that, but it's like, it was interesting because I came from watching Perfect Days the day before,
mm-hmm.
and the way dreams are depicted in that movie,
okay,
totally different. It was giving like Ingmar Bergman. It was giving, it was giving just like, I don't know, like impressionism. It was like super cool the way these dreams
different
were
different
than
like, real life. Whereas this is.
Yeah, like this one, it's like the blunt.
Just the same.
But it's like, but also how memories like sort of bleed into your like subconscious and in these dreams. And obviously, like in the case of robot dreams, it's about desires and not just like sleeping fantasies, but waking ones as well.
Yeah.
Especially that last
dream
that like.
Yeah. That one I was not ready for.
But then also like there was this really one great sequence that was an homage to the Wizard of Oz. Was really cool.
I think they the dreams were a good place for them to play around as well with both the reality and what you said, like the concept that a dream is a desire as well.
Yeah,
because we're always like, oh, chase your dreams, and I'm like, in this movie it really it means something else. So that Wizard of Oz dream was really fun.
And it was, like, one of, like, a bunch of homages that this movie made. Like, you wanted to touch on the,
Well, yeah, I just, the Wizard of Oz dream was a lovely homage because I'm, like, I'm a Wizard of Oz stan since day one. Like, I remember having, like, my picture book and walking around everywhere with it.
It's such a big moment for the Wizard of Oz. We were literally, like, looking at this one meme.
Yeah.
Like, that was Wizard of Oz themed before the movie started. And when we saw it on screen, we, like, looked at each other, like.
Because it was just so great. It was, like, perfect.
It's, like, such a Wizard of Oz moment right now between Wicked. The Wiz is on at the Pendages right now.
And I keep accidentally going to get ice cream right when it lets out.
Oh, gosh. That must
be awful. But it's worth it.
To see the happy faces of people walking out of the Wiz.
Everyone looks so good walking out of the Wiz, too. Like, they're just.
He's on down.
But yeah, like I think that the dreams are a good place for the homages. And I can't wait to watch it again and pick up on what I missed out the first time, the first watch.
Yeah, I definitely caught a Spike Lee Easter egg in there. I was like, that's Spike Lee, isn't it?
And then they mentioned it afterwards, and I was like, what are people talking about? What? I didn't see that.
I think now we can go into the Q&A. I feel like we've...
Yeah, I think so too.
We were talking about like Yo-Yo and like I had noticed the poster like off the bat, but I didn't know what it was referencing.
Oh, yeah.
And it was referencing this film by Pierre Arte.
Okay.
I hope I said that right.
I think you did.
And which also like Bergson film Blancanieves, like this movie,
mm-hmm.
it pays homage to silent film.
Yeah.
And it's about like this clown who's very lonely, and we haven't seen the movie yet, so I can't tell you
right.
like how it ties into Robot Dreams quite yet. But you can see some themes in like how Dog starts out and how Yo-Yo is supposed to start out.
Yeah. Also, this Yo-Yo Easter egg, it's just a huge poster in the middle of Dog's living room.
Yeah. And like, but, I mean, like, we keep on going back to it because it's like, yeah. we keep on going back to the living room.
Yeah, we exactly. So it's like he's constantly there.
Looming over this clown.
Literally looming over Dog. And it's just like a really beautiful homage to, like, storytelling, too.
Yeah.
So.
And it's like this legacy of storytelling because it's just like, again, like the legacy of silent film, the legacy of like these films influencing each other.
Yeah.
And like, it's very cool. But like, of all the questions that were asked, the most poignant one came from that one little girl, Anaya.
Yeah, I think her name was Anaya.
Yeah. Like, and it was just literally blew me away. Like the wisdom so of our young children. Yeah. And the question that she asked was, why did Dog get a robot and not find a man when dogs are man's best friend?
Yeah.
Oh.
Bum, bum, mic drop.
She got them.
Yeah, they got. That was a really beautiful moment as an audience member, but also I'm sure like as the filmmaker to be asked that like, such an innocent question. And I think that Pablo Verger did a great job of answering because he like gave a vague answer and he was like, okay, no, too many adults give vague answers. Let me tell you what's happening.
Yeah. And he fully gave like the whole story and he gave it straight. And like, when I tell you, like I teared up during the movie itself.
Yeah.
Which is not a shocker. I full out started sobbing.
Yeah.
During this answer, like tears all over my face. I'm sure I'm not the only one.
Yeah. You were not.
Like it was just...
It was...
The answer killed me.
We'll share it once the movie's actually out.
Yeah, we'll touch back on... We'll come back. We'll do a Robot Dreams update.
Yeah, we'll do... Yeah, exactly. That sounds great. Because the answer will shock all of you. But it's just a very beautiful observance of our dynamic... Two dogs.
Yeah.
And I think that we would have never connected. We wouldn't have had that experience as an audience member if a 5-year-old hadn't brought it to the table.
Yeah.
So that was a very beautiful moment.
Shout out to Anaya.
Yeah. My queen.
Yeah.
Another thing he said during the Q&A, and this was like, I mean, Pablo Berger talked a lot and he gave a lot of insight to like his process and specifically like the making of this film and his creative choices too, which usually during Q&As they don't do too much of that. So yeah. I really enjoyed this Q&A, but he said something that like I guess really took both of us aback. He said, "Dream awake, let yourself go."
I like wrote that down like as soon as he said it. I was like, such great advice. I want to tattoo that on myself.
Right, like put it right here on my chest, please. He mentioned how he bought this book back in whenever.
He said like 2010.
2010.
It was published in 2007. Okay, or 27, yeah, so as I like to say.
Yeah, so I guess if the book was published in 2007, he bought it around 2010. He read it, loved it, put it on his shelf, and went back to it a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when he was like, I have to make this movie. Like he said that he was sobbing, like, and he doesn't sob. It's a graphic novel without any words. Like he said, he doesn't normally
cry at that sort of thing.
So, but that he did so much that like, he was like, there's something here and I have to make it.
Yeah.
Like it touched him so much that he decided to just dream awake and let himself go.
Yeah.
I guess.
It's a beautiful piece of advice. And yeah, I think it would help us all to do more.
Yeah.
Dream awake. I feel like in my tarot card readings, that's like always the main piece of advice I'm given. Just let go. Fair. And I'm like, what does that mean?
What am I supposed to let go of?
I'm like, what am I supposed to let go of for real?
Yeah.
And then this is just like another fun little question that was like the last question uh-huh. that someone in the audience asked about like the toughest sequence to animate. And I just like loved it. And I'm hope like, you know, that, you know, when you finally watch this movie, like the audience, I'm talking to y'all, that when you guys finally watch this movie, like, you appreciate the work that went into the octopus on the subway. And that's all I'll say on that.
Yeah.
Though I love the other octopus at the government building.
Oh, yeah, that one was cute, too.
Yeah, the receptionist.
Very short-lived, though.
Short-lived, but I was like, yes, girl. Like, she's, like, the hardest worker in the building. Yeah, okay, and then with that, what are we rating this?
I'm going to rate a 7.
Really?
Yeah. I know you said it's your favorite movie of the year.
It's okay, but tell me, elaborate.
Why a 7? I think I was really frustrated for a lot of it, and I don't love feeling frustrated when I'm watching a movie for as long as I did during this one.
Okay.
The other thing was color palettes were not hitting as hard as they normally do for me.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think those two. So maybe like a 7.5, but I like to stick to the solid numbers.
All
7.
Right. Mm-hmm. Fair.
Yeah, what about you?
I think I'm going to give this one a 10 out of 10.
You can.
I'm like, I
totally
think
allowed to.
It was funny because you say frustrated, and I also was frustrated, but for me, it was like, I like to be frustrated during a movie because it means I'm emotionally invested.
I get it.
Because it means I care about what's happening. And, like, if I'm frustrated with a character, it's because, like, I'm, like, I care enough to be, like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
And, like, also just, like, it was just, like, I felt the full spectrum of emotions watching this one.
Right.
And, again, like, it was, like, the fact of, like, how bold it went with, like, the storytelling, again, like, the fact that there's no dialogue.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, wow. Like, again.
No,
like,
that was incredible.
Like, it's like, again, like, because these movies like this are so rare nowadays. Yeah. And I'm like, when I see it now, and I know, like, there's, like, a huge tradition to work off of, but I'm just like, to see it now work today in the setting where it's, like, the same thing about attention spans.
Yeah.
And it's just like, again, I think it's a feat, and I really commend Pablo Verdiger and the team for, like, making such a heart-wrenching, like, you know, like, light, like, you know, heart-wrenching but also, like, sweet, like, movie that, like, really, I feel like it's gonna stick for a while, and, like, I literally cannot wait for the moment I get to watch it again.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to watching it again too, and by no means, like, do I think any part of it is bad, just for me personally.
No, I get you, but I definitely agree. It was already, like, between that and Perfect Days.
Yeah,
like, I already watched some of my favorite films of this year, even though they're technically last year's films, but
no, it's okay, but you watched them this year.
Yeah,
that's, yeah. And
yeah. But yeah, alternate title,
I don't know, I think Robot Dreams is a great title by the time you finish the movie, but Robot Dreams is a bad title going into the movie, so I don't know, I feel like I want to play into the more so the dog puns.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. No, I don't know. Do you have one?
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay.
Mine's a stupid pun, though, and it's already technically, like, a title of something else.
Okay.
Do androids dream of electric sheep?
Oh.
It's Blade Runner, guys. Spoiler, we've been talking about Blade Runner the whole time. No.
That's cute. That's funny. Doggy dog world.
Doggy dog world. In the case of dog, that's very accurate.
Yeah, it's a doggy dog world. Dog eat dog.
I think, have you seen that episode of Modern Family?
Dude, the only reason I started watching Modern Family was because someone showed me that episode because I said doggy dog. I was like, oh yeah, like doggy dog. And somebody was like, no. And I was
You know what? It is a doggy dog world.
It's a doggy dog world, and I refuse to live in a world where dogs eat each other.
Yeah. So, you know what? It is. That's what it is. But it is canon now.
Yeah. It was a great moment because people thought that I was being so clever by referencing Modern Family, where I was actually just, that's what I had heard.
It's like,
so
that's what I was saying. Oh, no, because you have humanity in you. You don't imagine a world where dogs
with
eat each
cannibals.
Other. Cannibals.
Yeah. Gosh.
Cannibal dogs. Gosh.
But yeah, I do. Well, you know, I love Sofia Vergara, and I'm always like, she should be in everything. Put her in.
Honestly, she really should.
What age do you want to be when you watch this movie?
It's so funny because I always go for, like, older ages. It's never, like, the age of a child, but, like I could watch this at the age of a solid 35.
Oh.
And, like, be like, yep, like, this is the ennui and loneliness you feel in, like, your 30s, say, at an age that I have not yet reached.
Right.
But I think it just, like, captures that sort of, like, age. Though my whole thing was with Dog, I was like, the only thing missing from this movie, I will say, is, like, did Dog have a job?
Oh.
That was the only inaccurate thing about this whole movie. Yeah. I was like, what does Dog do with his life? Like, what is his job? And another thing that bothered me is, like, how could he afford Robot but not a fucking kite? Did you notice that?
I did think about that, but I think that I rationalized it. And so I told myself, like, oh, he can afford a robot because that's, like, a deep desire. He doesn't want to spend $250 on a kite.
True.
Because, yeah, like, he went to go buy those books, and he bought the most expensive wire cutters. Like, I feel like that was, like, a...
Yeah, he had to bail himself.
Bail himself out, too. Is all of this making you want to watch this movie? It should. Yeah,
like, if you're not intrigued by now, we don't know what else to talk about.
What else to say. Without just spoiling.
But, yeah, the only conclusion I can logically come to is that he's a trust fund baby.
Oh, really? That's what you come to? I just told myself that he has, like, a gambling addiction.
But that, like, again, he's good, where does at the money come from?
He's a gambling.
Oh, I see. I always think with gambling addiction, it's...
Oh, yeah, no, he's good. Like, no,
you
can he's only good.
Be addicted if you were winning.
If you were at some point winning, yeah.
All right.
I think he's in his winning era a little bit.
What do you think he gambles in?
Dog Online fights. Poker.
I'm sorry, I'm a sick person.
Sorry, that was I should have said that.
No.
Clearly.
Who would you additionally cast in this movie?
This is a weird question because there's no voices.
No voices. So I'm guessing my question would more likely be, what additional animal or robot character would you add to this movie?
Oh, incredible! Great question. I would add... My answer is going to be a capybara.
Ooh.
I love me a capybara, but I would add a capybara as maybe the beach attendant.
Hmm. That would explain a lot in this movie.
Yeah,
maybe capybaras are usually so chill.
Yeah, beach, exactly. What part could you do away with without saying too much?
Honestly, you know what? Oh, well, no, there was the rabbit sequence.
I'm going away with that.
You saw, like, my jaw dropped at that scene. I was horrified, and it was, like...
Awful.
Yeah, that whole sequence. I mean, granted, I think it was an important part of the story. And it just, like, reveals, like, just the brutality of us.
And it low-key makes it easier later to identify what's a dream and what isn't.
Yeah. But so
thankful for that.
Gosh, just for robot's sake, I would have done away with that whole sequence.
Yeah, I can't.
Oh my gosh. But storytelling wise, fantastic sequence. But for my heart, not the best.
No.
Would you do away with that part too, that or do part. Is there another one?
Nope, just that part.
Yeah. And then our ultimate question, as it is for every episode.
Yeah. Does this have the frozen effect?
What do you think?
If I was a kid, if I was like 7 and I watched this movie once and I was like, oh, I'm obsessed, I would absolutely keep watching it forever. So I feel like this is the first time I'm going to say depends.
Yeah.
So like if I was 13, I wouldn't watch this movie more than once. If I was 7, I feel like I would.
Okay. I mean, I feel now that I would probably rewatch for the sake of the Easter eggs and then just the sake of the story because I love it. But like for like to be able to like find all the little Easter eggs. I feel like as a kid, like, honestly, maybe, like, if it's, like, one of those things that gets my heart, like, ground to dust, but also filled to the brim.
Yeah. Because the ending is just so great.
Oh, my gosh, that ending is...
And I feel like that's one of the key parts about, like, the Frozen Effect movies. It's, like, the ending has to be so unique and beautiful and, like, warm that... You want to watch it. Like, once it's over, it's like they say about childbirth.
Play it again.
Yeah, it's like what they say about childbirth, where, like, you forget how awful it was when you have the baby in your arms. Yeah. That's what a Frozen Effect movie kind of sounds like to me. And I feel like this one does have that.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
Robot dreams, guys. Literally.
Yeah.
Like, and who knows? Well, you'll actually find out in a bit what we thought about the Oscars. But for me, obviously, I think it's a long shot.
Yeah.
But I really, like, Robot Dreams was my favorite of the bunch, actually.
Really? Yeah. Interesting.
Maybe, I don't know if it's because it's the last one, but I want to say it's because I really loved it.
Yeah. So who do you want to win?
I mean, again, like, I think Robot Dreams is great. I would want it to win. I think...
Who do you think is going to win?
I think Spider-Verse will win.
Spider-Verse is going to win? Okay.
What about you?
I think Boy and the Heron is going to win. But Nimona's my pick.
Aww.
Yeah, I love Nimona.
And, like, again, like, these were all such great movies. It really was a great year.
Yeah. And I love that all the movies look so different from one another. Like, stunning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it was a really good pick this year for Oscar nominees. And, like, now that we have seen all five nominees.
Yeah.
And, like, this is our last one. Like, we can say this, like, with full, like, it really was a great year. So, and with that, thank you so much for listening to our review of Robot Dreams.
Yeah.
But stay tuned for Victoria's report of the Annie Awards.
Woohoo!
And our raw reactions to the Oscar winner for Best Animated Picture. We'll be back in a minute.
Dun, 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 dun. Welcome to the Annie Awards report, brought to you by FYC. No, I don't want to make this too long because the Oscars bit is coming up and the Annie Awards were a little bit ago. The movie that won the most awards, and actually this was a shocker to me, I didn't think it was going to win this many, was Spider-Verse, Across the Spider-Verse. So, like, again, we did an episode on that and we both loved it. I think I rated it a 10 out of 10, but I didn't think that it was going to... I don't know, I guess have resonated with that much of the animation industry as it did.
I think, like, this has become, like, this franchise in general has become, like, an industry, like, darling for some reason. And, I mean, not for some reason. It's, like, excellent, like, movies.
Yeah.
But I think it's really, like, gotten people, like, excited. And, like, the fact that it's, like, a comic book adaptation. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, I mean, like... This is, like, the only one of the movies... Actually, no, that's not true. Nimona is also based in IP.
Yeah.
And Robot Dreams.
And Robot Dreams.
But I guess it's the most recognizable
IP. And Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
But I think because of, like, it being Spider-Man, maybe.
Yeah, and they actually brought out Shameik Moore, and he presented one of the awards.
Oh, sick.
And it was... What I found was really cute was that the directors of... Across the Spider-Verse weren't in the audience. So instead, the director of the first Spider-Verse was the one accepting the awards on behalf of them. Yeah, so Bob Persichetti was accepting the awards. They didn't tell him that Shameik Moore was going to be presenting. So, like, they hadn't seen each other since their first Spider-Verse that they worked on together. So it was just, like, a really sweet moment that, like, they also had... from Elemental, they had Gale and Cinder present an award together, and they had never met in person either. And even though they're both in the same movie, they went to the premieres together, but they didn't meet.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's a lot of people there too. They kept making this joke that, like, oh, they have wind, they have fire, they just need an earth and they can start singing.
Oh. You don't know it yet, but this is a huge Easter egg.
Huge Easter egg. So that was really cute. So I don't know. I feel like my favorite thing about the Annies was, like, all having all these people doing the thing, and it felt like a real life animation. There was a part of it, and I wish I'd recorded it, but there was a part where the announcer, like the big speaker announcer, announced who was presenting the award, and then they did, like, a whole little play on, like, directors telling actors how to do their lines. So, like, oh, this time throw it away, and this time do it with, like, disgust. And so, like, it was just really funny, the announcer and then the two directors on stage, like, doing this little bit.
Yeah.
That was just
you gotta
so
love
unique.
Voice actors.
You gotta love voice actors, and you gotta love the animation industry and, like, people that work in it. Like, it was just so cute. So the Annie Awards are also for animated TV. I know we focus a lot on the film side of things, but there's also a lot of animated TV that maybe it'd be worth talking about at some point. So maybe stay tuned. Who knows? But I was surprised that One-Eyed Samurai won pretty much everything.
Yeah, I heard about that. I haven't seen it. Have you?
I haven't seen it either. I'm checking right now what it's on. Oh, it's on Netflix.
Well...
Yeah, so I definitely am going to have to binge it this weekend because, like, it won everything. So, between Spider-Verse, The Boy and the Heron, and One-Eye Samurai, I think those were all the major prizes awards were between those three movies, or two movies and show. There were a few other shows that are also worth looking into, but so I do want to look into that. But yeah, One Eye Samurai just really took that and like ran with it. Like they won everything. Sam. And so like the team was so excited and like they didn't see it coming. And it was just really, I don't know. It was just like really beautiful speeches that came out of that. But yeah, as you know, my favorite movie of the year, The Inventor, didn't win. So that made me really sad.
I know. I was bummed. And then I was like, now that I've seen Robot Dreams, I'm like, yay, Robot Dreams.
Right. That's true. And but at that point, I hadn't.
Yeah. You so know? You're like, so, screw Robot Dreams.
Screw Robot Dreams. As I was sitting next to the Robot Dreams team too. But
true story.
No, I was really excited when it won. I was like, okay, I'm excited to watch it tomorrow morning. Like there has to be something here that's so good. So it was a great transition, great like 24 hours between the two things happening. But I was really sad about The Inventor.
That's so cool. Well, excited for them.
But yeah, so I'm excited to go back to the Annie's next year too, and hopefully you get to come this time.
Yeah.
But it was just a really beautiful place and so many beautiful people. Everyone was wearing beautiful outfits. Oh, the Nimona team, they were all wearing pink Converse.
That is so cute.
I know. I was like, that is so Nimona. But yeah, no, it was just a great evening, and I'm very, very happy that I got to go. So with that, I guess here is our reaction of who won the Oscar. Welcome to the Oscars recap.
And we're back.
again.
For this time, the Oscars recap. So yeah, literally since we recorded Robot Dreams, since Victoria recorded the Annie Award
recap.
Now the Oscars.
We've watched all these movies.
Yeah, we've watched all the movies. You've heard all 5 episodes. And now we're here to discuss which of those 5 movies won the Oscar. Unlike Al Pacino, let's actually go back over the nominees.
That was a moment.
And my eyes see Oppenheimer.
Dead silence. Everyone's like, we clearly don't trust your eyes, sir.
He's such a king. No, it was perfect. And like fine. The producers did say that he did not do anything wrong.
Yeah.
Al Pacino can do no wrong. But the nominees for Best Animated Picture were
Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Yes.
Nimona.
We had Robot Dreams, Boy and the Heron, and then we had Pixar's Elemental.
Yeah.
And then, as I'm sure you all know, because you've probably seen the news, and if not, like, why are you even listening to this podcast?
Or maybe you watched the Oscars, and then, in which case, you saw what happened. And you've been waiting two days to listen to this episode.
Boy and the Heron won.
Yes, just like I predicted.
Yes. Wah-ha. I had thought, so I'm very happy actually that Boy and the Heron won. I thought that it was going to be Spider-Verse, but honestly, this was the best possible turnout other than Robot Dream.
Yeah, you did think it was going to be Spider-Verse. And for a moment, you almost convinced me into thinking that it was going to be Spider-Verse. But I said, no, Boy and the Heron.
And you are right. Yeah. And honestly, this, I think, really was the best possible choice.
I agree.
I think this bodes well for the state of animation in terms of, again, these artistic movies. Like, there was that whole, like, comment about animation being for kids. Yeah. And, like, I mean, this whole show is about, like, honoring your inner child through animation.
Yeah. And but it's something that quite literally the Boy and the Heron does, but in a different way.
Yeah, it's because it's very much for adults, but at the same time,
it's for adults' inner child.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I don't know that I can say the same about Spider-Verse or Nimona or even Elemental. And I love all those movies.
No, I think all those movies, I mean, all the nominees were honestly fantastic. I think, again, like, great year for animation, except for one particular studio, which shall not be named. but I think it does bode well, again, that Boy and the Heron was, first of all, a Studio Ghibli film.
Yes.
Hayao Miyazaki, his latest movie.
Potentially his last.
Potentially his last, though he keeps on wanting to go because he said he was retired before he made this
what,
one.
87
and,
years old?
Yeah. And like he made this incredible masterpiece.
Yeah.
But it's the amazing fact that it's in 2D.
It's, yeah.
And it's just like after years and years of 3D seeming to be like the predominant art form for like animation or like the predominant medium, like now to see that 2D is coming back again. Like, I mean, Robot Dreams is also in 2D.
Yeah.
It kind of gives me hope that like studios will start to accept, like realize that audiences enjoy 2D animation and start to experiment with that again.
Yeah.
And that also means, you know, like training artists in 2D again.
Yeah. I was going to say it's pretty close, but I will say from like all of the wonderful people that I've met in the industry as animators, I've never heard anyone say that they don't themselves experiment in 2D or would like to work in 2D.
Yeah.
So I think that it's a bright future for 2D, and it's maybe it's because we're both returning to Saturn, and maybe the world is also doing a little Saturn return to something about the 2D animation, but I think that we're definitely going to see more of it.
Yeah. I'm like, let's see what the next few years brings. But I do hope that the other animation studios,
I think they will. Yeah. I think they will. It was a good time.
It was a good year. Just a good year for movies. 2023. And again, really excited for what next year brings.
Yeah, me too. Well, thank you for listening. Leave us your Oscar thoughts and comments down below.
Until next time.
Bye.